Our Palm Sunday reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" I'm sure that we are all familiar with the ceremonies linked to the arrival of royals, military processions and lines of smartly uniformed forces, horse-led carriages, even royals on horses. There are the cheering crowds, often reaching out for a precious handshake or waving flags or offering flowers. In the entertainment world, we see red carpets being rolled out and photographers everywhere, interviewers everywhere, shouting out for a word about the film that's just been put out. And that's the scene that we're seeing today as we mark Palm Sunday. Jesus arriving in Jerusalem as a king, as a celebrity. And there's nothing missing, is there? There is an excited, shouting crowd. There's a horse, albeit a young horse, a colt. And in the days before red carpets, people removed their cloaks and laid them on the road. In today's reading, we don't actually hear about the palm leaves, but they are there in the other accounts, hence today is known as Palm Sunday. Crowds waved branches, much like we might wave flags as royals visit. Back then, palms represented victory and triumph, often waved to wish kings and their troops victory in battle. Again, not unlike flags. The parallels with royal arrivals is no coincidence, of course. There are layers of really important meaning which help us to understand Jesus and what is about to happen. Palm Sunday marks the start of Easter week. In just a few days' time, the climate will dramatically change. The crowds will go on to reject Jesus to such an extent that they call for him to be killed. None of that was known at the time, on Palm Sunday itself, except by Jesus himself, of course. And so it's quite hard for us to stand in any of their shoes at that point. It's widely accepted that on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was hailed as a celebrity because the people had seen and heard of his incredible miracles. He was also being hailed as a king, and those victory waves with the palms were because many thought that Jesus was the king that they'd been waiting for, a king who would save them from the oppressive and corrupt regime of the Roman occupiers. In other Gospels, the crowds are described as shouting the words, "Hosanna." Now, we sing that word regularly in worship. Its literal translation is, "Save us, Hosanna. Save us." We now know that in physical human terms, Jesus was no such king. He didn't fight off the Romans with swords and an army. In fact, in that respect, he was a complete failure. The Jews had to live under Roman rule for many years more. But he actually did so much more than they were expecting, just not in the way that they wanted. He was a king. He is a king. As God, ruler of heaven and earth, Matthew 28, verse 18, or John 16, verse 33, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And he did respond to their cries of Hosanna, save us. He saved us from all the consequences of sins, Matthew 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Sadly, the response of most people when Jesus failed to meet their expectations was to reject him and to actually turn against him. Many of you will know the story of Judas, renowned for how he betrayed Jesus, giving him up to the authorities and causing his arrest, an event which we mark on Thursday, Maundy Thursday. There are several thoughts on why Judas, a close friend and disciple of Jesus, did what he did, with one theory being that he truly believed that Jesus was going to save them and he had the complete ability to do so. But he also thought that that was in the literal sense from the Romans. And the betrayal was either out of frustration at Jesus not delivering, or perhaps to push Jesus into the radical action Judas and others thought was going to happen. I wonder if we can imagine ourselves in that crowd on Palm Sunday. Complete faith in Jesus, in awe of what he's done and excited about what he's going to do to change lives. I don't know about you, but for me, that bit feels easy. But it's the what comes next. Can we relate to the crowd when they feel let down by Jesus? When they deny him? When they are actually cruel and just want rid of Jesus? As they denied his power in their lives, concluding that he had none, believing that he had gone against all the promises that he made to save them or help them, being responsible for their ongoing suffering. I suspect, if we're really honest, we can find ourselves in that crowd, in that position. We've placed our trust in Jesus, but we also have our own set ideas about what this means, and that leads us to feeling let down by God. And just to pick a few myths that can perpetuate about becoming a Christian, about welcoming Jesus into our lives, that we'll always be happy, that we have a supernatural protection from harm, illness and suffering, that our good deeds will be repaid. And when we pray, it will happen just as we envisaged it. But actually, none of these are biblical or true. Yes, we can have joy and peace in all circumstances. Prayers are answered, but as per God's will, how he thinks and knows is best for us. Earthly life is flawed. It holds suffering for all of us because it's a broken, damaged world with free will. But we have the promise of an end to that in the eternal life. And when we have these flawed expectations of Jesus and misunderstand how he brings about change in our lives, we risk becoming disillusioned in our faith, and very wrongly so. That can lead us to separating ourselves from God, breaking the relationship with him by not going to church, choosing to no longer pray, whatever it might be. There are all sorts of ways we might do that. As we see on Good Friday, others stood at the foot of the cross at Jesus's crucifixion. They didn't lose their faith. They didn't lose the trust that they had in their Saviour, even through the most painful of events as they watched him die. As a result of staying with him, They were able to see Jesus for who he was through the miraculous events that followed, especially him rising from the grave on Easter Sunday. Truly a king. A king prepared to sacrifice himself for the freedom of all his people. True ruler of heaven and earth, and the one who did achieve victory. He defeated death and sin. Victory over death and sin. Wow. So this week, I'd invite you to reflect on the question, where in the crowd do you stand? Where in that crowd do you stand?